Good morning, Mamlaka Hill Chapel. Indeed, as Pastor Mwangi has aptly introduced me, my name is Jonah Gagwa. I serve as a pastor here at Mamlaka Hill Chapel in the youth department, and it is my joy and honor to be bringing God's word to you. Allow me, before I get into it, just appreciate and welcome Pastor Munala and his good wife. They have been away for a while. It's so good to see you back. Karibuni sana. God bless you. Well, Pastor Mwangi has led us well and also exposed me about how the Lord has been working in my life. But yes, I am glad to announce that I was able to convince one dear lady that I am not such a terrible person. So far, they seem convinced. So I want to trap her with marriage quickly before she changes her mind. But it's been a wonderful journey, and I am grateful to God. One of my favorite services at Mamlaka Hill Chapel is just this testimony service, because you come and you hear a lot of what the Lord is doing, and it's amazing, amazing. And it's always interesting. I was listening to the Shisha Thanksgiving. Let's call it the Shisha Thanksgiving. And I just remembered a post I read on Facebook recently, shortly after the ban. There was a gentleman that was very happy that the shisha had been banned. And his reason was, he says, you know, I usually take my, you know, lady out for a night, and as we are taking all these drinks and stuff, and then he says, no, me, I'll just have shisha. And then he says the bill comes like a school fees. So he was very grateful to God that shisha had been banned. I couldn't help but just think about some of the things that have happened in the course of the year. Some exciting ones, some not very exciting. And for some reason, there's a thought that came to my mind just about an event that stands out. Not because it's really a testimony. It just really painted for me Kenya and what Kenya is like. And so this is a funny story that I'm cueing you. So when the preacher starts with, this is a funny story, when he ends the story, you laugh. We are together. We are together on that. Yeah, so this is a funny story. So I remember I was heading home, and so I went to the bus stage. And so there's these, all matatus are coming, and they're saying a particular price, which, again, going with confidentiality, I will not disclose. So there's this price they are saying, and then the next matatu come and says this price, and the next one comes and says this price. And there's another one that came that was about 10 shillings cheaper. And so all of us were thronging to this particular matatu. But here's what caught my attention. There's a lady who caught my attention because everyone is thronging, they're trying to get into this particular matatu. And then there's this lady shouting because everyone is pressing on her and says, "Musinifinye, musinifinye." And so she said, and the way she was shouting, I thought, is a stampede happening? I mean, everyone got concerned because of the degree of how this looked like. It was very serious. "Musinifinye, musinifinye." And then so what caught my attention was just how shortly after that, she began to give the reason why she should not be pressed. She said, "Musinifinye, nikona mkate. Musinifinye, nikona mkate." I just thought to myself, and the amazing thing was, you should have seen how everyone all of a sudden just began to guard this woman as she got into the matatu. And I asked myself, where has this knowledge been all my life? Now I know what to carry when I go to the stage. It's very interesting. Kenyans, we are wonderful people. We make light of things, and I think that's a blessing to us. I just thought I thought I had to mention this one. Now, I know you're wondering, has this anything to do with someone? No, absolutely not. But I had to mention this one. Yeah, I remember the dear lady when she gave a testimony how she got an A in Swahili. That's big, right? Kiswahili. You guys remember the kind of questions you were asked in Kiswahili? Eleza muktadha wa dondohi. You guys remember that? And you have no idea. In fact, what was dondo? Dondo. God bless you. That is a real testimony. And to share briefly on what I called thankful for the year behind us and hopeful and trustful for the year before us. Thankful for the year behind us and trustful for the year before us. Like I said, it is Mamlaka Hill Chapel tradition that as we come to the end of the year, we are allowed to hear many testimonies and just hear what God is doing. But at such times, it behooves us to begin to think about our own year. And perhaps you're there and you're thinking about your own year, your own 2017, and how has that been like? And allow me to ask you this question. If you were to grade your year in a scale of 1 to 10, how would you grade it? Is it a 1? Is it a 5? Is it a 10? Maybe for some of you, it has been a blissful year. Perhaps you would give it 10 out of 10. You know, it's been a blissful year. Great things have happened to you. You don't wish that this year would end. Perhaps you got married in 2017. There is a new baby you had in 2017. You graduated in 2017. Perhaps you started dating. Now you are in cloud 9, tutakuweza, you know. And or perhaps it's a business you started and it's picked up or you've been promoted. It's been a great year for you. Or maybe for you it's a 5 out of 10. It's one of those years I call the steel years. You know the steel years? Like, how was your year? Well, I'm still married. I'm still employed. I'm still single. Or I'm still dating. Or I'm still in the university. Or I'm still in college. And so if you're to sum up your year, you'll be like, meh, you know? The meh kind of year. So if you are asked, how's your marriage in 2017? Meh. Well, I wouldn't advise for you to respond that way, especially if you wish to continue being married in 2018. But it's sort of a meh year. Or maybe you're here and been a bad year. It's been a distressful year. It couldn't end faster for you. Your marriage has been difficult, perhaps even divorce threatening. Maybe you had the loss of a loved one, perhaps a family friend, perhaps you lost a job, or the frustrations that come with it, or perhaps you hoped to graduate in 2017 and your name wasn't on the list, and so you have to retake the whole year. Or perhaps you're here and it's a little of all. You had the good, the meh, and the bad. So the question before us is, how, therefore, can we be thankful in this year and also trustful for the year that is before us? Allow me to read a text that assures us of our reasons for thanksgiving. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to verse 30. Romans 8, 28 to verse 30. Here's a disclaimer before I read it. In 1721, one great preacher, Jonathan Edwards, would preach a text that had one of the most brilliant outlines, if you ask me, ever done by a preacher. And over the years, many preachers have re-preached that same outline. It was on a different text, but it's the same outline. And so I thought I would add myself to the list of these preachers by using this outline by Edwards. And so let me read this text, Romans chapter 8, from verse 28 to verse 30. This is what the text says. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. How can we be thankful for the year that is behind us and trustful for the year that is before us? The text before us, I'd like to suggest that outlines for us three reasons, and I want us to consider that in a very brief time. One, consider your bad things. The text tells us to consider your bad things, they work out for your good. Consider your bad things, they work out for your good. Secondly, consider your good things, they cannot be taken from you. Consider your good things, they cannot be taken from you. And thirdly, consider your best things, they are yet to come. Consider your best things, they are yet to come. So firstly, consider your bad things. They will work out for your good. Notice verse 28, and we know. And we know. Do you realize that Paul does not say, and we suspect? Paul does not say, and we think? Paul does not say, and we, you know, even hope? Paul says, we know. Whatever Paul is speaking about, he's speaking with much assurance. In verse 35, Paul will actually say, we are sure. And so, of what is Paul sure? Paul is sure of this, that all things work together for good. Paul says, we know this. I like the fact that he says all things. That means the good things and the bad things. As you consider the year 2017, all the good things and the bad things that happened, he says that there can only be one outcome in the heart of God, and that is for your good. And so you can be grateful despite the circumstances, despite the nature of your year. All things work together for good. Now, I went ahead and checked out the Greek word that Paul translates here for all things, and actually it means all things. Not very informative, but yes, all things. Now, it is not difficult to be grateful for good things, but in here we find the reason to be thankful even amidst tragedy. And we see the kind of things that Paul is speaking about, because in verse 35, he will begin to outline them. He will say, shall tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and danger and sword. These are all tragedies. And Paul says that they work out for your good. And so you can look at your ear, and even though you experience some bad things, you can be grateful, because in the greater scheme of things, God is working them out for your good. The other thing we notice from this text that it is God who works them. Now, a more literal translation will read this, that for those who love him, God works all things for their good. For those who love him, God works all things for their good. And so it is not that all things automatically work themselves out for good. It is that God works out all things. We know that left to themselves, things don't become better over time, right? That's the reason for the many kinds of maintenances that we have. That's the reason if you build a house and you leave it unattended, it doesn't become better, it becomes worse. Because we live in a fallen world, and everything in this fallen world is programmed by what is called the law of death. It disintegrates. And so Paul says that it is God who works out things for good. It is God who works out things for good. Here is the implication of that truth, brothers and sisters. That if there is anything good that happened in your life in 2017, it is the direct hand of God. It is the explicit hand of God. Left to yourself, things fall apart. But because of the hand of God on your life, your health is intact. Your family is intact. Your friends are present. There is good happening in your life. Why has God allowed you to see a sunrise? Why has God allowed you to see the beauty of a sunset? Why has God allowed anyone to have it in mind to send you a birthday wish? Because God loves you. All things are working for your good. God is bringing those things to work for your good. And so sometimes we miss out because we want the spectacular, but we miss out God in that which he is currently doing. All things that are good that came to you came from God. It could be big things such as the testimonies that we are hearing, or it could be not very big things. Perhaps you wrote a status on Facebook and somebody liked it. Thank God. There are many people who wrote many statuses all through the year. No one has liked them. And you say, well, I am one of those. Well, perhaps you have a cat at home. It has not left your house. Be grateful. Now, I was joking about it, but there is a truth to it. Ever wondered why, you know, when you go to a new place where dogs don't know you, they bark at you. Their first instinct is to be, you know, cruel and bark at you. George Whitefield has a thought. He would say, it is because the creation knows that we are at war with their master. And so the fact that your cat has not left you is a reason to rejoice before God. Sometimes we blame ourselves and we feel like God has left us because we did the wrong things. And perhaps you're here and you feel, I have sinned. I have lived 2017 in such a wicked way. I know myself. And you think God has withdrawn his love for me. Let me remind you that even in the Old Testament, if you read the story of the Jews when they went into the Promised Land, do you read how they built an idol? The Bible lets us know that as they built that idol, do you know what fire was giving them light? It was the fire that came from the fire of God. It was the light that came from the fire of God. And even in the moment when they were doing that great abomination, God did not lift his fire. Our God is more gracious than we are able to comprehend. And sometimes you think that God has left you because of the evil that you have done. Brothers and sisters, God has not left you. His kindness is not to draw you deeper into your sin. It is to call you out of it. And so that you may enjoy a relationship with him. All things, he works for your good. Anything good that happens in your life, it is the hand of God. I was reading this text and I was considering the life of Job. Now, Satan had a conversation with God in heaven. I was like, you know this Job, the reason he's the way he is because you've blessed him and you've put a hedge around him. Did you notice what happened when the hedge was removed? Brothers and sisters, when the hedge was removed, Satan attacked every single thing that God said he could touch. Every single thing. The only things he didn't touch were the things that God said, don't touch. You would think that Satan would exercise some degree of restraint, you know, just take half of the camels and leave. No, 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 no. He took everything, all his camels, all his sheep, all his goats, all his cattle, all his servants, left one to deliver the message, everything. And here's the truth of that scripture. If you own anything, it is because God has put a hedge around it. Because if Satan had his way, if the hedge was lifted, he will do to you exactly what he did to Job. And that is reason to be grateful through the year 2017. Now, a lot of us have simply looked at what God has not done. And you look at your kabambe, you're like, oh my goodness, Lord, lift me a bit higher than this. The truth is, the reason you still have that kabambe is because God has put a hedge around it. Otherwise, Satan would have come and taken it and thrown it away. Those of you who are not from Kenya, kabambe is hard to explain in any other language. Shall let your neighbor explain that to you. It works it for your good. Here's the truth that is revealed to us, that no good thing shall he withhold from those who walk uprightly. If you look at your 2017, here's what God is saying, that if there is something that he didn't give you, it is because it was not good for you. I like what John Newton said. He said that no thing that is necessary shall he withhold, and nothing he withholds is necessary. You can look at 2017 and be grateful. And lastly, secondly, consider the good things. Consider the good things. Notice verse 29, this is how it starts. For. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the good things. Perhaps you think of your spouse or your family or your friends or your job or perhaps your boss. At least I do. But the temptation is to import this meaning of good into this text. But Paul does not allow room for us. He will give us what he means when he says all things work together for good. And here's what he tells us, that, and we know. And then verse 29 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And the good that Paul is talking about is conformity to the image of Christ. And so God will work all things for your good, that you will be conformed to the image of Christ. This is one of the most beautiful things. And this is what we must realize, that your possession, your truest possessions as Christians, your good possessions, cannot be taken from you. They cannot be taken from you. That's why Paul says it is predestined. It is fixed. It is fixed. It is predestined. It is fixed. It will not be taken from you. Think about your true good things, that we are being sanctified from inside out, being made more and more like Jesus, that we are adopted into the family of God, that the monarch of the universe calls you his son or his daughter. That's a great thing that will never be taken from you. You have been justified, the Bible says, counted as though you had never sinned in your life. God foreknew you. He has forgiven your sins, past, present, and future. And he has sealed you with the Holy Spirit. These are the good things that cannot be taken from you. You can be grateful, not just because your bad things will work out for your good, but because your good things cannot be taken from you. Remember that the ultimate purpose of evil is to come and to draw you further from God and to make you distrust Him. But God says, hey, I will render evil impotent in your life. It will not be able to achieve its purpose in your life. And so God is saying you may go through difficult circumstances, but they will not draw you further from Him. They will make you more like Him. And these, brothers and sisters, it is the promise. Consider your good things. They cannot be taken from you. And lastly, consider the best things. They are yet to come. Consider the best things. They are yet to come. Look at verse 30. Such a beautiful verse. He says, and those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Now I can see called, and that makes sense. He called us in the past tense. Yes, that makes sense. He justified in the past tense. Yes, that makes sense. But why would Paul say, those He called, He has also glorified? Paul is looking to a future event as though it's a past event and speaks of it in the past tense because it is that sure. Brothers and sisters, your best things are yet to come. They are sure to come, but they are yet to come. He calls it glorification. Glorification is just the fact that we will be moved from this temporal world into the world that will be, into the new world. We'll be given new bodies. Now, if you think about it, we live in a fallen world. That's the reason for the accidents and the wars and the pain and the suffering. And we have fallen bodies and fallen selves and the reason for sin and temptation and all that kind of thing. But God reminds us that the best things are yet to come. And so we can be grateful for the year, but also hopeful for the year that is to come. Now, I wanted to try and make this point. Because in reality, when it comes to these things, the preacher is much like a baby. He sees the inexplicable world of beauty and glory, but he's unable to express words with which to convey this. And remind you of Paul, who was a master communicator, who penned down many difficult things. When God allowed him to see the third heaven, he came down and he said that, I have no words to describe this. It is unlawful for man to speak them. Because they are wonderful things. They are difficult to explain. However, I shall attempt by an illustration here. My illustration is a very spiritual one. I don't know that everyone can see me. Can everyone see me? I would really want for no one to miss this illustration. And so I want to illustrate the glories of the world that is to come. This before you, brothers and sisters, is an orange. Right? This is an orange. Everyone can see the orange. And I'm going to eat it before you. Seeing as I'm a good Christian. Oh my goodness. This is good. But seeing as I'm a good Christian, I want to share this with Kathy here since she is close. Please, Kathy, just have a bite. There's a theological lesson to draw here. Yeah, you can just eat it as you sit. But no. Let people see the expression on your face as you eat this. So Kathy is standing, seeing as she's very obedient and eating. Yes. Did you see the brightness of Kathy? Let me just take this again. This is really nice. I have left one here for Pastor Mwangi as he comes back. But here's the thing. You see, as sweet as that orange is now, I do not work for an orange company. I'm not trying to sell oranges. But as sweet as that orange is, it's a fallen orange. And as sweet as it tastes to me, this is a fallen tongue. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters. In this new world, we will not have a fallen body. And the oranges will not be fallen. It will be beyond explaining. Jonathan Edwards would quote this. He said, to pretend to describe the excellence, the greatness, or duration of happiness of heaven by the most artful composition of words would be to darken and to cloud it. That's how beautiful it's going to be. And here's the bigger thing and the bigger truth, brothers and sisters. If you think about it, if that orange can taste that sweet, how much more the God who made it? And the truth is this, that we will get to spend eternity with Him. Your best things are yet to come. You can look forward to that. Now remember, this text says that these things are true for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. And perhaps you're here and you're not a Christian, and you're wondering, how does this message apply to you? Let me end with this illustration. Think about it. Sorry. Think about it. If somebody came to you and told you, there's a distant uncle of yours you never knew about that was very wealthy. They always knew about you, but they never revealed themselves. And now that they have died, they have written a will, and in their will they have said that all their estate is to come to you. And let's say their estate is $2 billion. And so somebody came and told you, yeah, so here are the documents. Go on this website and check, and then fill in those forms, and that's yours. Now, seeing as this is Nairobi, you're unlikely to believe them, but you would at least go and try to find out. You'd at least go to the website and check out the website to see if these things are so. If you're here and you're not a Christian, that is my invitation to you. If the things I speak about are true, you owe it to yourself to at least go and check them out. Brothers and sisters, it is because of such considerations that Paul would say our light afflictions are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to come. Yes, we can be grateful. We can be grateful for the year that is behind us, and we can be hopeful for the year that is before us. Brethren, because thus saith the Lord, Isaiah chapter 3 verse 10, tell it to the righteous man, it shall be well with him. May the Lord bless you, and have a blessed new year.